Hello, friends. I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about abortion, and we're going to be talking about this more in the coming weeks. And some of you might think that that's outside my norm or my wheelhouse, but abortion has everything to do with embracing God's standard for sexuality, because sexuality is designed to procreate, to create life, and to protect life. That is the call that God has given us. If you've been on social media the last couple of weeks, you've probably seen a lot of public discourse about abortion stemming from a couple of social media influencers, Jesse Ridgway and his wife, publicly sharing that they aborted their child because he tested positive for Down syndrome.
I bought boy clothes because I was so sure that it was negative. I had the nursery faked out. I was ready.
It's caused a huge firestorm and a lot of backlash. And I'm thankful for that backlash. I think it's shown me that we still have people with a conscience who see the evil in snuffing out innocent human life. The decision to end the life of an unborn child is made 3,000 times each day. And we should be equally heartbroken over each and every one, even though most are not publicized on social media like this one was. I wrote recently, as I've been talking about this issue, that many pro-life organizations have helped to defeat legislation that would give equal protection to unborn babies. And I've been so disappointed in the pro-life movement because of this. And I think it's really shown that the pro-life movement is at odds with another movement called abolitionism. Abolitionism believes that we need to end all abortions by criminalizing them, by actually charging people with homicide who would be a part of an abortion in any way. And I completely agree. And that's at odds with the pro-life movement in many cases, where pro-life movement believes that we should fight against the abortion industry, but we shouldn't charge someone with homicide for aborting their child. So it should still be legal to kill your child. It's just the medical community that should have restrictions. And I think that that has actually not actually worked. And we see that in the numbers. Abortion has not decreased, even though Roe versus Wade has been ended. And so the pro-life movement has not been successful at decreasing the number of abortion. And I think that we need to embrace abolitionism. And I think that is the way. I think that's the biblical way. I think that abolitionism is more grounded in biblical truth. And you can look that up online. There's a great organization, Abolitionist Rising, that has a great website that really explains the differences there. And so I think that it's really disappointing to have to say this, but the pro-life movement has blood on their hands for helping defeat legislation that would actually provide justice for unborn children that are murdered in the womb. As I've observed and watched a lot of these conversations and participated in some, I keep hearing a common rationalization on why so many people who claim to be pro-life don't actually want to criminalize abortion. They claim, we just need to change the hearts of people so they don't want an abortion. And sound really nice and compassionate, but that's just not the way that humanity works. Imagine applying that logic to other areas of morality. Would you say that robbery shouldn't be illegal, but instead we should just change people's hearts so that they don't want to rob anyone? How do you think that would work? We've actually tried that in some ways in some very liberal blue cities where they've really decriminalized theft and said, well, we just need to have an economy in which people don't feel the need to steal. What's happened is theft is just out of control and stores are having to close down because they can't control theft. That just doesn't work. What about child abuse? Would we say, let's change people's hearts so that they no longer want to abuse their children? Well, that's just doesn't work. What about sexual abuse? Would we say, let's not put child molesters in jail, but let's just change their hearts so they no longer want to molest children. That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? Yes, the gospel changes people's hearts so that they don't desire to do heinous things. But God also designed the government to provide justice and protect people. Recently, I interviewed my friend Cam on my podcast. You should check out that episode from just a couple weeks ago. He ended up in jail for his immoral actions that were also illegal. And it was going to jail and facing justice that God used in his life to change his heart and free him from the evil that he desired. We serve a God of mercy and justice. And sometimes justice is the act of mercy we need the most to protect others and to change hearts. It's not compassionate to continue to allow women to do something that is soul-crushing. And I hear that from so many pro-lifers that having an abortion is so soul-crushing. Well, then we shouldn't allow them to do it. And they should feel a soul-crushing consequence from their action because they've taken an innocent human life. And if we force them to face the justice of that, to face the consequences of that, far fewer would make that decision. It is not empathetic to wait until someone's heart has changed to protect life. It is not loving to overlook evil because people can't bear the weight of the reality of what they have done. The gospel can bear that weight for them. No, in my own life, I had to come to grips with the fact that my behavior and desires were evil, that my behavior and desires were an abomination to the Lord. But that's not a lack of compassion, lack of grace. That's biblical truth. And that actually amplifies God's grace. When I understand the depths of my sin, it amplifies God's grace. It helps me understand God's grace at a whole new level. And the same truth needs to apply to abortion. I see a lot of pastors who refuse to call abortion murder because they say that's just too much shame and guilt on the shoulders of someone who has committed an abortion. No, that's helping them understand the depravity of their sin, and that is what brings them to the mercy of God's grace. And so we need to be bold with these issues. We need to use the real language that the Bible uses, which is murder of you know, innocent human life. And so we need Christianity and pastors and a true pro-life movement that's going to be bold and calling abortion what it is, which is murder. And if people have chosen that, we share the gospel with them. We help them come to a place of experiencing God's grace that is so much deeper, wider, and ever-ending than they could ever imagine. It is God's grace is sufficient for them to experience grace in the aftermath of their abortion. And we should want to prevent that from happening to any other baby and to any other woman, to any other would-be father who is thinking about making that decision. We need to stop it. We need justice for these unborn children. I'm thankful that the abolitionist movement is trying to bring justice. They're trying to fight for laws that would stop these would-be criminal acts from happening. And we need to get on board with that movement. The coming weeks, I'll be interviewing some people who are pushing for abolitionist, what's called equal protection laws that give unborn children the same protection as adults. It would help people, help prosecutors prosecute people for ending the life of an unborn child. And some people think that that sounds harsh. It's like, no, that is the justice that God desires. That is the justice that actually educates society on what is good and what is bad. That is actually loving not only the unborn children, but is loving future moms and dads to stop them from doing the unthinkable thing that's going to end up being soul crushing for them. So follow along. I want to have this conversation with grace, mercy, compassion, but also a heart of justice. Pray for the unborn. Pray for the abolitionist movement. Pray for pro-lifers to get on board and stop getting in the way of providing justice for the unborn. Have conversations with your friends and your neighbors and your church and pro-life leaders. Make sure that if you're supporting a pro-life organization, that they are actually protecting your life by fighting for equal justice laws in your state. All right, buckle up. is a hard topic to talk about, but I'm thankful that we have a platform to do that, that we get to live in a time where we have the tools to end abortion if we'd only have the courage to do so.